All right. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining in. This is Confessions of a Serial Wife. I thought I wouldn't get one almost this week. I apologize. Work has been crazy and life has been crazy. The world as we know it is totally different than it was before, and it just gets more and more different every day. But today, I want to talk about physical abuse. And I'm more focusing on when it happens to a child. If you've been listening to my podcast, which I recommend at the beginning of every episode now, because I reference past things that I've talked about. And so if you haven't listened to previous episodes, you might think I'm crazy. You might think I'm crazy anyway. But if you haven't listened to previous episodes, please do so, because that will give you the background that you need to kind of connect the dots. So let me just first preface this by saying that I was not necessarily physically abused. And when I say that, I'm not talking about sexually abused, because I was molested. As a child, I sustained mental abuse in many forms, mostly from my narcissistic mother. That continues today, even though I've cut her off, simply because I am the person I am. And you know what? You just get guilted into it. And even though you kind of have to distance yourself for survival, you do feel bad. You do feel guilty. And so you end up taking phone calls and you end up connecting again. And you always want them to be different. You always want them to love you and accept you. And, you know, it takes about 5 minutes into a phone call before you realize that that just is never going to happen. I'm just never going to be that person that, you know, my mother wants me to be. I'm always going to be the one taking the blame. I'm always going to be the bad guy. And according to her, you know, I've still robbed her house. So, I mean, good Lord. So anyway, when I was a kid, I was never spanked. I think I talked about this in one episode early on, but there was one time when we were up in that little mountain town before we lived there, we were visiting, and my sister was there and her friend was there. And I think I was just playing around and everybody was getting irritated. I was very young and I barely remember it. I see the pictures from them because we had taken pictures because my sister's friend was with us. And it reminds me of the almost spanking moment. But that was about the only time. Dad got mad and took me out to the car and was gonna spank me in the car, and I started crying and screaming, and then he couldn't do it. He didn't do it. I mean, he just wasn't physical like that. And so I don't remember if he took me back in or left me there crying for a few minutes or whatever, but that was the only time that Dad ever threatened me with abuse. Or spanking. I guess that's not necessarily abuse to everybody. I was beaten up while I was pregnant with my son. And I mean, that's just a special kind of abuse. And, you know, just, it's just disgusting, that type of abuse. But that's not what I'm focusing on. I have a point to this call, and so I'm just going to kind of, I don't know, lay out the breadcrumbs and then kind of get to it in the end. So I told you about, I think it was kindergarten, with that boy that, you know, we went over to his house and, you know, he took us in the bedroom and he laid down and, you know, pulled out his penis. I guess it's still a penis when they're that young. And it was all very weird and strange then, and I didn't really understand it. Not sure how I got connected with him. And then when I was growing up in the mountain town, it seems like that's what every boy wanted to do, including the one boy that I was dating while down in the valley. As, you know, a third grader and early fourth grader, I was dating that kind of, he was kind of like a little bad boy, you know. And it seems like everybody, no matter what, I mean, I just got in these situations where they wanted to play like that. They wanted to show me their penises. And, you know, you have to wonder how kids really get that in their minds. And I did that myself. You know, I talk about this really heavy in episode 50 about passing on the sex abuse. But you have to wonder how kids get like this. You know, why did I have so many of these episodes in my life? What attracted these types of boys to me even at that young age? Because I have to tell you, when a boy showed me their penis, I had the same reaction that I did to being molested. I was kind of freaked out. I didn't want anything to do with it. I was, you know, still a kid, really. I don't know. So what puts them in that mindset, I suppose? What gets kids to that point where that's what they do? So my first real boyfriend, and actually my first husband, since I married him at 17, after we had been together for a while, and we were together, you know, several years, it wasn't like, you know, just a few month fling. Actually, it was 3 years we were together before we were actually divorced. So, after we had been together for a while and gotten really close and, you know, kind of knew everything about each other, it came out that his stepdad had abused him physically. And again, I'm not talking sex abuse, you know, but it does kind of lend to the pattern that I see, you know, that occurred during my entire life. I met his stepdad. Let me just tell you that. His mom, if you recall my episode about it, was a heavy pot smoker. I mean, that was her idea of a holiday, was passing around the pipe or the bong. And you can say what you will about pot, but when that is your absolute idea of a holiday, something is skewed. There's something not right about that. You know, if you want to go do your own thing, then hallelujah, go do it. But for you to, I mean, there was presents, but it wasn't about the presents. It wasn't about the being together. It wasn't about the tree or the food. It was literally about the pot, past the pot. And that's a problem, I think. So she was preoccupied always. And the stepdad, and I don't remember exactly why her and his dad got divorced, but the stepdad did not like him. He was very abusive, apparently. I never saw that side of him. I just saw how distant they were and how my, at that time, boyfriend was towards him. It was a different kind of relationship. So he describes it as he would be sleeping, and mind you, he was a teenager, so we're talking 14, 15, 16 years old. He would be sleeping, and he would actually be woken up by being punched in the face. Now, I think that all kids exaggerate a little bit, and, you know, being shocked awake like that, it's very scary and very intimidating, so I'm not exactly sure how hard those punches were. But the physical abuse continued like that, and it warped how he was towards his family, towards men. Apparently, it was very often. And so that's one example, I suppose, of physical abuse. And these are very high level and, of course, secondhand stories that I was very close to. The second example I'll give you, and actually, you know what? Before I give that second example, I'm going to just put in one of those quick ads, just really quick. And so I'll be right back. So hang tight. I'll be right back. All right. Thanks for sticking with me. So the second example is from husband number 4. And I want to bring him up first because it kind of is a little bit different, and then I'll get into the others. So he was, if you remember my recordings, probably, well, at that time, the love of my life. I was so enthralled with him. I was so in love with him. I felt like I was connected to him on so many levels. And it was just devastating to my core when he left. But we had a really good sexual connection. And we played games and, you know, he role played, but the stories he told, they started, and you remember he's LDS as well. And LDS is big into Boy Scouts and all of that stuff. And I don't think it's anything with LDS for sure. I think it's just the Boy Scouts in general. Really not with Boy Scouts, but I suppose that because of the environment, you know, being alone with boys in the woods, secluded, it probably just harvests that type of behavior if it's there at all. He talks about being with other Boy Scouts and older boys there. So I'm not sure if it was maybe a leader, if it was a helper to the leader, but the person that did this was older. And I think it occurred several times. It was not easy for him to tell me, you know, you can imagine, for many reasons. But it was, I don't know, what common day kids would call probably a circle jerk, maybe. That's a horrible term, but I mean, that's what comes to mind. So apparently the conversation led to that type of behavior, masturbating, touching yourself, sex, whatever. And he, my husband, you know, that was a kid at that point, and I should stress, this happened when he was a kid. He was a boy in the Boy Scouts, not an adult. But he said that he was very inexperienced and didn't know anything about anything. So the boy, the older person, was trying to teach him, I guess. And so he masturbated him. And that was the first experience that he had with sex, was being masturbated by an older person, whether it's considered a boy, a teenager, a young man, I don't know. Which is interesting because then it followed him seemingly, because when his parents got divorced, and I think his dad was actually abusive as well, and that's why his mom left him. But then she ended up with that molester guy that molested his daughters. So it kind of followed him. And my husband then, when he was, you know, still young and living with his mom, I guess he had moved out. So he wasn't necessarily around the molester when he was molesting, but it was still there. It was still in his life. So the kids' dad is probably what I want to get into next. His dad was horribly abusive to his mother, apparently. They fought, and I think there was physical abuse, and he witnessed this, and it became so much that she started having an affair with his best friend, with the dad's best friend. So they got divorced. She married the new guy, the friend. So that became my kids' dad's stepdad. The stepdad died in a horrible car accident when my kids' dad was, I think he was like 18. And after that, the mom, to cope with it, started drinking horribly. And drugs fall into play because she was also an avid pot smoker. And there were stories about her smoking when she was pregnant and, you know, all of that stuff. I'm not exactly sure of the details for farther stories, you know, way back when stories about that. But so my kids' dad was also in this mix, though. It was not a normal life. It was, you know, filled with abuse, you know, witnessing abuse as a young person. Now, let me just say that my father-in-law, my kids love, and I grew up, I didn't grow up, but, you know, I knew him as this good person. I never knew him as being abusive. I can't even imagine him raising his voice. But all of the siblings claim the same thing. So maybe it was that he got away from the mom. You know, maybe he married a different wife and that's, you know, what changed him. Because as I've always said in these recordings, you are a product of who you're with. And I believe that wholeheartedly. And so maybe he was that type of person while he was with, you know, the type of person he was with. I'm not sure. So it, you know, it's just kind of a whole pattern. The gay husband that I had, I can't even speak to that, but, you know, the relationship that he had with his daughter and the relationship that he had with his parents, I'm telling you, it just was not normal. And I'm sure there were stories there that I was not privy to in the short amount of time that I was with him. So I think each person has just gotten progressively worse. It's just a pattern of behavior. My current husband, came from a mother that was seemingly wonderful. She played the piano. She, I think was religious, you know, she was normal, although the stories are not. His dad loved his mom horribly, it sounds like. So my husband has a younger sister, and whenever anything went wrong, apparently my husband was blamed for it. And the blaming that he got was of physical abuse, beaten up. He was apparently beaten all of the time. And during grade school and high school, his normalcy was that he never went to people's houses. He didn't even realize that people went to people's houses. He was horribly sheltered. I always tease him and say he lived in a cave, and really that's what he did. Because he didn't go to movies, he didn't, he wasn't exposed to the outside world, and, you know, except for school. And his theory on that is that he thinks his parents didn't want him to know what normal looked like. And so they tried to keep him thinking that what he was experiencing was normal. So whenever his sister would cry, he would get, you know, beaten. I'm thinking spanked, slapped, hit. They hit him in the head a lot. And let me just say that his dad, according to my husband, listened to his mom. So she would almost instigate it. And then the dad was the muscle in many cases. And I think that's the way it happens a lot. I think many people experience this, and to worse extents. So he was not starved. I mean, he didn't know what a can of raviolis was or a can of chicken noodle soup because his mom made everything from scratch. She was a dutiful mom, but they thought that he should be a certain way, and they believed in physical punishment when he did not meet that standard. And apparently it was daily. So he is not close to his sister now, and it's mainly because he started seeking a therapist and seeing a therapist for many years of his adult life before I met him. And the therapist helped him to realize that distancing yourself for survival is good. It's not bad. It's not something you should feel ashamed of. It's something that you have to do for yourself to help yourself survive. And I believe that wholeheartedly. I practice that now. He practiced that. We do send cards and letters, and, you know, we used to call on occasion to his family. But they're not here local. They're back east. But, you know, it's very distant and different. And it's because he came from that. But my point is that, you know, how does this type of a pattern happen to me? And I'm using me as an example because these are all my experiences. These are all my husbands. These are all my people. These are what flock to me. Maybe I flock to them. So how does that occur? You know, it's kind of the chicken and the egg question. You know, is it my, you know, broken psyche that's attracting them? And I'll have to tell you that I didn't disclose my abuse to all of them, and definitely not right away. And they definitely didn't disclose these stories to me right away. Sometimes it took a very long time for me to learn these things. So is it just the broken psyches that attract? I mean, do we sense that in each other? And that's how we end up meshing up? I have no idea. I don't know how that works. But the pattern is there. The physical abuse was there. You know, in some cases, the weird kind of questionable sex things are there. So I don't know. I do know that people like me, and if you're listening to this, probably people like you, need to break the cycle. So if you're seeing these patterns, then by all means, break the cycle. Look for something out of the ordinary. Do not fall into the patterns. Don't fall into the same niche, because I think it's going to just breed on. I told you my mom had, you know, claims physical abuse when she was young. And, you know, the one time she told me that she had been molested or something, and we never got into it again. I was like, I don't know, 19, 20 when she told me. I don't know, these cycles are vicious and ever contaminating and ever tainting, and they change you forever. And so if you notice these patterns, you know, in fact, I challenge you to look at what's happening in your life, what has happened up until now, up until this point, and look for patterns and try to break free, try to get help, try to change it, because boy, I gotta tell you, it's just not a good place to be. It's not a good thing to realize and to be stuck in. So I won't preach anymore, but I think women with a background like mine end up choosing men with a background like theirs. So do what you can to break free, whether male or female. Break the cycle. Anyway, I thank you for listening. I'm way over time. I appreciate you. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.